No better guy to break it down. You can catch him on Counterattack on Sirius. He is Tony Meola. He is U.S. goalkeeping legend, and he joins us now. Tony, thanks so much for coming on tonight.
Yeah, Glenn, anytime. Hope all is well on your end. Obviously, not a great window for the U.S. right now.
No, not a good one. Where do you stand after watching this one today? And I'm sure you probably dove into it very deep on your show today. But what do you take away from this?
Well, a little bit concerned. Anyone who knows me knows I'm not one to sort of jump off the ledge every time the U.S. loses a game. But after 3 years getting to this point in the World Cup cycle, just 55 days, I guess, before they kick off against Wales, a little bit concerned that we keep hearing more about style and this is the way we want to play. And I, you know, take these two games and two different types of games where you had a Japan side who really pressed the U.S. side. They couldn't find solutions to build out of the back. And a team in Saudi Arabia today really, for the most part, dropped off to about midfield, and we still didn't have solutions. I clearly understand that this team could look a lot different, and everyone keeps sort of hanging their hat on the fact, well, we're missing five guys, and Greg said that yesterday, and I'm with him. They are missing five guys and some important guys, and Chris Richards, Timothy Weah, Yunus Musah, guys like that, that are really, really important pieces to the puzzle. But truth be told, I mean, we look lifeless, uninspired. I mean, you could use a bunch of different words, right, for the way that this team performed over the last 180 minutes, and that's a little bit concerning going into a World Cup.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%. We're talking to Tony Meola, by the way, who has played in a World Cup, the former U.S. men's national team goalkeeping legend. You know, I want to go back to the prior match, and in that game against Japan, where Japan was just looked sharper, pressing the ball like crazy. They were hunting it in packs. I was very disturbed that the U.S. just continued to insist to try and play through them and not look a little bit more direct and just kind of get them through that rough period. I was just surprised that nobody took a hold of that on the field and pulled out that solution that needed to be integrated into the team in that first half.
Yeah, well, we've been talking the last couple of days about, players with soccer IQ, right? Because, and again, I'll go back, I say this all the time, I'm old school, right? For me, first 10 minutes of the game, especially leading into a World Cup, it's no frills in the beginning, right? I know you want it to look one way, but let's stretch the game a little bit. Let's put the ball in their half, play in their half. If you make a mistake, it's in their half of the field. It doesn't cost you. I came into this window thinking, okay, whatever we're going to do at the World Cup on November 21st against Wales is what we're going to do today. Unfortunately, I feel like that's what's going to happen. We're going to try and build out of the back. And there's two ways to approach it, because the approach prior to this was like Tata Martino, Mexico. What did he do against the U.S.? He dropped off against the U.S. And he said, let them have the ball at the back. They can't kill us at the back. I'm not going to get caught on a counterattack. It worked to some extent for Tata Martino, but then we found some goals in that game, and we end up winning the game. But the tactic itself worked throughout the game. Then you've got Japan, who pressed and pressed and pressed, and it was really the three behind, the three guys sitting behind the forwards that were the guys that made the most, or wreak the most havoc in this press, if you will. So the idea that we're going to go and do that against Wales is crazy to me. And we were just talking for the last couple of days about soccer IQ. You can pin this on Greg all you want. And of course, Glenn, as you know, when you lose, right, it's the manager. Guys make mistakes. But in the end, when you lose for a period of time or you sort of lose your way for a style of play, it's the manager's fault all the time, right? But truth be told, I mean, in all fairness to Greg, and believe me, I'm not happy with what Greg did, but we've got to put some blame on the players because, okay, coach says, Glenn, you want to build out of the back, and the idea is that you pass the ball to one of your, you know, from a center back position into one of the checking midfielders. And but if you're in the game and you see it's not on, why do you play that ball? Because you're supposed to play it, or because that's the best pass? The soccer IQ should tell you, okay, that's too dangerous. That's going to come back down our throat. So there's a, sort of a there's a level of how much is it on the players, how much is it on Greg. Now, Greg's going to take the heat here, because we were sold in the beginning that essentially we were going to change the way this national team looked. And we're going to be on, you know, we use all those terms, right? We're on the front foot and we're going to possess the ball. And we just got to be effective with the ball. And I have this sort of theory, and it played out against Japan. I'm a fan of building out of the back. If I have a team, I want them to build out of the back. I don't, Glenn, want the ball in each sequence to go to both center backs two or three times, or maybe find the goalkeeper's feet two or three times, because that tells me I got a problem. And the problem is I don't have solutions to get into the middle third of the field and then the attacking third of the field, because it keeps coming back to my goalkeeper, or keeps coming back to my center backs. And once you get it wide, you got to have some solutions. And if you get it back to a center back, for me, it's got to go to the other side of the field, and you got to have a way to get out. And I think we don't have those players. And okay, Aaron Long, I'm sure you're hearing it too, right? Is taking a little bit of a beating here. But Walker Zimmerman has given some balls away. Matt Turner has given in both games balls away. If we're taking two center backs who, again, you cover the league. Red Bull doesn't build out of the back, and Nashville doesn't build out of the back. And then we come to the national team, and we expect two center backs to build out of the back.
Yeah, we're asking guys to do something maybe they can't do. And I think you see that throughout MLS when we cover it. You're looking at center backs that are being asked to make the game, and it may be asking too much, right?
Yeah, and Greg was asked about that, and his answer was, well, they don't do it at their club, but they can do it. Mm. So I just think the national team, Eric Winalda made a great point today, I think, on our show. And he said, you're a national team. A national team manager, right, is not there to teach. They don't have time to teach. You're learning at your club, and you're coming, and you're putting the players together that you think fit your system in. Then you get together and you go, right? Because you only got sometimes 2 days, 3 days tops on the field. I just think we have to put these guys in a better position. Today was a little bit better. Today there were a few more solutions. We saw early in the first half, Walker Zimmerman hit a couple diagonal balls to relieve some pressure, found Weston McKennie on the other side of the field, found Christian Pulisic on the other side of the field. Then we got away from it a little bit. The lack of the lack of solutions in the final third of the field, everyone says it's scary. I don't feel like we even got to that point in the majority of these 180 minutes.
No, I agree with you. I don't think we look dangerous at all. I didn't see the energy. And, you know, the reason I cited that example from the Japan game was simply because, you know, I'm just watching this game and I'm going, guys, it's 15 minutes. You've tried to play through them. 20 minutes. It's not working. Somebody just turn them, make them run back to their own goal, get out of your own half of the field for a while. And it may even, if you stick three or four balls behind them, that may get them to lighten up on their press a little bit. You don't know. But, you know, if you're going through a rough period, you got to recognize it, right?
Well, I asked Eric Winalda on the show yesterday, or when did they play? Thursday, whatever it was. I forget. Yeah, Thursday. And we came on after, and I said, Eric, tell me what you did as a forward. The ball went out to the center back. You chased him once. You put the ball over the top. The ball went out to the center back again. You chased him again. It went over the top. I said, what did you do, like, the next couple times? He said, I didn't run anymore there. I didn't go waste managing. Now the game opened up just by doing something really, really simple. And I think, Glenn, that's what you're talking about. So I guess in theory, the lack of a plan B, right? And again, I still put some of this on the players. I don't know that we have the players to do it for 90 minutes. We certainly should have the players to do it for a short period of time in games and build out of the back. There's a million ways to build out of the back. We're trying to build out of the back like we're Manchester City and Barcelona. And we don't have that type of player. Liverpool builds out of the back, but it's really, really quick, and it's really effective, and it gets forward really, really quick. I watch Milan, right? They've become a team that's been a possession team. But rarely do you see the center backs knocking the ball to each other. It's about getting forward in the first opportunity that you can, and they're not afraid to put the ball, as you mentioned, behind the back four. So I just want to see a little bit a few more ideas and maybe take some chances by spinning defenders. I feel like the defenders of the opposing teams over the last two games have probably found the game really easy to defend. And that's not good. They shouldn't feel that way.
Tony, who would you partner with Zimmerman? Does Chris Richards bump up here in the pecking order? I mean, I'm pretty sure we would have seen him if he wasn't injured.
Yeah, I'm sure we would have seen him. I don't know. I'm assuming it's going to be him. It's such a wild card, right? First, he's got to play every week at his club, and is there really a lockdown center back for you? Even Walker Zimmerman right now. I mean, I didn't think Walker Zimmerman was great over the last two games, but I suppose you got to stick with somebody, right? Because you just can't blow the whole thing up. I'm still a little bit shocked. I remember 2 years ago when Tim Ream's name was announced in a starting lineup, Twitter went mad, right? Like, I can't believe Tim Ream is in this starting lineup. And that's probably because John Brooks was here at the time. And now, though, would you be opposed after watching Tim Ream play and how composed he's been in the Premier League and competing and played every game in the championship last year? Would you be opposed to see him in this roster right now? I certainly wouldn't. The one thing that would stick out to me, and probably the quality we need the most, there's a guy that probably wouldn't be in awe of anything he saw over the last two games, yeah, based on what he does every week. You know, so, I mean, there's so many. We were trying to, and probably good exercise for you and your callers and listeners, what does the next, I guess, I don't know what the number is, but until November 9th, when Greg has to put that roster out, what does the next, like, 50 days or so look like for him? And behind the scenes, when you start thinking about the question marks that are in this group right now, it's a long way to get to a final 26. And, of course, everybody looks at the roster as if there's going to be no injuries. But, Glenn, we've seen this team has been battered with injuries over the last, through World Cup qualifying, starting with Gio Reyna, who goes out again today. Hopefully it's nothing, and it is precautionary. And you can imagine he is really jumpy with anything that he feels right now. But we've Yunus Musa, Tim Weah hasn't played in, it seems like, forever. I don't think he's played a game at his club this year so far. Like, there's still a lot of question marks in this group.
Well, let's hope they all get at least there's some solutions to these things. People get healthy. World Cups can get derailed, as Tony knows very well, and World Cups can get better, and let's hope it looks better in the near future. You can catch Tony on Counterattack on Sirius along with Eric Winalda now. That's every weeknight, 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern time. Tony is a Soccer Hall of Famer. You do know that. And, of course, legendary goalkeeper. And we know him from way, way back in the early days of really helping establish the U.S. national team. Tony, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Hey, Glenn, by the way, it's not way, way back. It sounds better when you just say way back. Way, way back sounds really old.
Yeah, I don't mean way, way back. Hey, listen, you're aging gracefully. You still look in great shape. You look like you could go in goal. So, there's no slouch on you, man. You're doing great.
Keep up the great work, man. Enjoy being on with you. Thanks so much.
All right, Tony. Thank you. That's Tony Meola, Counterattack, every weeknight, 4 to 7 p.m. on Sirius.